Now, I'm not saying that the Greeks started to speak Phoenician. Let's be clear about this. They're still speaking Greek. But what they are doing is deciding towards the end of the 8th century that it would be useful to have a system of writing their language down. And the system that they use for that is a system that originates as a Semitic language. Now, the Greeks do something subtle here, though. They make quite a change because they take words in Semitic, like Aleph and Bet, things that mean ox and house, and they drop the meaning of the word, and instead, they simply take the sound. Aleph becomes the letter Alpha, which is simply used to write down a, not a word, not a meaning, not an object, simply a sound, a. Beth loses its meaning as a word, and it becomes merely, to the Greeks, the letter beta, which can be used to stand for the sound b. And with that quite extraordinary step of taking an existing system, dropping out the meanings associated with these symbols and making them purely phonetic, what the Greeks have done is borrowed someone else's writing system and very soon adapted it, using only between 24 and 27 letters, to write down everything in Greek. A system which does not require hundreds and thousands of ideograms or pictograms, with only 24 to 27 letters, approximately getting all the sounds of Greek, you can write down all of Greek with those letters. Now that's quite a breathtaking step if you think about it. Really quite extraordinary. Now, let's take this idea of the origins of writing a little further. I'm using it here to illustrate the notion that the Greeks really did acquire a great deal from their cultural contact with the broader world in which they were trading and colonizing. But in relation to the acquisition of writing, some scholars have recently argued what we should pay attention to is what the Greeks choose to write down, first of all. What did the Greeks first write down once they had this alphabet? And the answer is quite simply, Homer. That's what Greek is being used for, the first time we have Greek. So it's fairly clear, once again, that the Homeric poems have come to achieve an astonishing status. If the very first thing that your entirely new writing system is used for is to record Homer, to write it down. But I want to point out another aspect of the writing, and that is not the question of what is written down, but rather where is the first Greek writing. And the answer is that our first pieces of coherent Greek and lengthy Greek of any sort are not found in Greece. They're found in Pithecusa, the Bay of Naples, and Almina. Look at that. Trading emporiums. Places where the Greeks were trading and living right next door to the Phoenicians. Can we go any further? Probably not with confidence. You might like to speculate on something like, well, what happens when a Greek population and a Phoenician population lives cheek by jowl for a generation or two? The answer is you produce bilingual children because men and women will have children and these children will grow up with both languages. And imagine a child growing up with both Phoenician and Greek being literate in Phoenician and using that system to write down Greek. I happen to like the theory of the bilingual child as the source of the Greek alphabet. We can't prove it, of course, but I throw it out for your delectation. If we go beyond writing, if we use writing merely as the most concrete example of what the Greeks are getting from their exposure to the wider world of the ancient Near East, and ask what comes with that, not just in concrete terms, but here intellectually, spiritually, culturally, at a more abstract level, I think we get a very interesting answer, and that is this. The other poet of the 8th century whose work is of immense importance to the Greeks, aside from Homer, is Hesiod. Hesiod writes two long poems, the Theogony and the Works and Days, and in the Theogony he talks about the origins of the Greek gods. Later people would say Hesiod in a sense codified the Greek gods. He taught the Greeks who their gods were. Now, when you read through the poems of Hesiod, you find something very interesting. We have, for example, the story of different generations of the gods. Originally, there is the god Uranos, who was attacked by his son Kronos, remember, his genitals are cut off. Later, we also have then Kronos being deceived by his son, Zeus, who feeds him a rock to eat instead of himself being cannibalized by his own father. Three generations of the gods, each generation overwhelming the generation that came before, one by physical attack and one by deception.